All right, let's turn now to our weekly sports segment, because it is Wednesday, so with me now is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Meghna. How am I going to follow Jay Giles?
Well, I can. Well, you've got a microphone in front of you. All you need is a guitar. But instead of doing that, I'm going to ask you about the upcoming Boston Marathon, because the Boston Athletics Association announced today that they're going to work to improve the treatment of hand cyclists. In the marathon, they're going to make some changes, like giving greater recognition to winners in the hand cyclist race and increasing the number of spots, official spots for racers in 2018. So, first of all, what's your thoughts about that?
Well, I'm delighted. I think that the case that some of the hand cyclists themselves made and the case that some of the commentators, newspaper and otherwise, have made for them is very convincing. There are other marathons in which these folks have been better accommodated than they have been at Boston, and I think it's great. You know, the Boston Marathon, of course, is a competitive event, and there's a lot of money at stake,
yeah.
And it's important as a competition. But maybe more than any other marathon, at least any other marathon with which I'm familiar, it's a cultural event.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inclusive event. I mean, the entire course is packed with people who watch and clap and jump up and down and scream. It's a rite of spring in this part
yeah.
of the world. So by its nature, it should be as inclusive as it possibly can be. And these are steps in the right direction.
Well, so just to give people a little bit of the backstory who may not know, most of the hand cyclists who enter the Boston Marathon are either veterans or many of them are survivors of the Boston Marathon bombing itself.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, Patrick Downs, wrote in the Boston Globe about his concerns about how the BAA was treating hand cyclists. And as you mentioned, Kevin Cullins, Globe columnist and state representatives as well, signed a letter to the BAA saying, hey, you know, there's no need for this. There's no reason for this. You know, treat them with the same respect
right.
that you do all the other racers.
Right. It's common sense and common courtesy, and good on them all.
Yeah. So I like the fact that this is a start, although I wish it hadn't taken sort of something of a public shaming of the BAA to bring those changes
well,
about.
Well, it's often the case, unhappily.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to soccer. I get to talk soccer with
good
you.
Good idea.
Because the United States is putting in a bid for the FIFA World Cup, but not as a standalone host nation, right? They want to do a joint effort with Canada and Mexico for 2026?
Exactly. And what a strange climate for such a thing to happen. Here we are still talking
building
about
a wall
building a giant wall on
hosting
one border.
The World Cup.
And we've got citizens and non-citizens of this country running through the snow to get to Canada from the U.S. I think this is the greatest thing that could possibly happen as far as offering a different way to look at the way people can work together.
Well, we have a little.
I couldn't be more excited about what soccer has done here.
Well, we are going to have a little bit of tape here from Sunil Gulati. He's president of the U.S. Soccer Federation, saying that the U.S. did consider putting in a solo hosting bid, but felt that bidding as a North American group was a better decision.
And we think a joint bid with our two neighbors will be very powerful internationally and in terms of getting the world community behind coming to North America.
Getting the world community coming to North America. It's interesting phrasing here. But Bill, first of all, I think I can only remember one other World Cup that was hosted by multiple nations.
Yeah, there's only been one other World Cup.
Just the
hosted
Japan,
by
South
two
Korea.
Nations. Exactly, Japan, Korea, right.
Okay. Why? This is where my cynicism is going to get dragged into this conversation. I mean, come on. The United States has the money. It has the population. It has the stadiums. Why couldn't we put in
me,
a solo bid?
This is a little bit like what the U.S. has done in combination, in partnership with Canada and Mexico, to encourage women's pro soccer.
Yeah.
They put together a situation where the Canadian Federation, the Mexican Federation, the U.S. Soccer Federation all helped to sponsor this league, which, of course, you know, two previous editions of the Women's Pro League went under because of mm-hmm. lack of sponsorship. I don't think it's a lack of money that makes the U.S. want to partner with Mexico and Canada. I'm going to take the opposite tact from skepticism here and say I think this is a good thing. Maybe there are some people who recognize that this sort of symbolism actually works and means something and can have some importance in a world where he who must not be named is jumping up and down and shouting America first.
Okay, I appreciate your optimism, but here's another bit of cynicism. I can already hear the whiny Premier League players saying, what do you mean I got to get on an airplane and fly from the Yucatan all the way to the tar sands of northern Canada? It's too much travel for a World Cup.
Probably won't have to. You know, they'll work it out so that the trips aren't all that bad. And come on, at the end of the trip, you get to play soccer. How bad can it be?
Well, and I mean, these are people who get paid a whole heck of a lot of money.
They're doing just fine.
Okay. Plus, let's pull for them to win this, because it'd be great to be able to watch a World Cup game games in the United States. All right.
The great thing about the World Cup is it's great fun to watch no matter what. And if the United States team performs very well, hey, that's a bonus. That's great.
All right. So one last thing. We'll bring it back here home to Boston, and let's just talk for a second about the Bruins, because we have the first day of the NHL playoffs tonight. The Bruins will face, speaking of Canadians, they'll be facing the Ottawa Senators in Canada. Mm-hmm. Boston hasn't been in the playoffs for, what, a couple, 3 years, but interim head coach Bruce Cassidy says he feels good about this year's team.
It's that time of year. It's you've earned your right to be here. We feel we've earned our right. We didn't back in, and we're ready to get going. So I think every player in that room feels energized, excited to play.
What do you think about the Bruins prospect?
I think he better hope that that's the case, because all the other teams are going to be in that position as well. In hockey and in basketball, both, everybody who's involved recognizes that there really are two seasons, and the one that counts begins now.
Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game. You can hear him every Saturday on WBUR at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and every Wednesday afternoon here on Radio Boston. Bill, thanks as always.
Thank you, Meghna.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.